Now, I wonder how many of you, let's start with the broad question. How many of you have ever been on a roller coaster? Fewer than half. I can't say I'm too surprised. Sensible, those of you who haven't been on roller coasters. How many of you love roller coasters? We got a few. We're not in double figures, but we've got a few. Well done. I get the sense that roller coasters are often a bit of an acquired taste. Now, I'm deaf in one ear, and that means that my equilibrium isn't great. I get seasick on a river, and I'm not kidding. I have been seasick on a river. So roller coasters do not agree with me in any way. They make me poorly. They are not good. But for some people, roller coasters are the best thing since sliced bread. A few years ago, they did some statistics in the United States, and they worked out that 385 million people rode 1.7 billion times in a year, just in one year, in one season. People are up there enjoying that experience of being terrified, being thrilled, all of those things together at the same time. It's a thing that you can really go for. What about other extreme experiences, extreme sports? Bungee jumping? Anyone? I have. Yeah, I've jumped off a bridge into a river. That was great, actually. Really good adrenaline rush. What other, whitewater rafting, skydiving? Anyone doing all of those kind of thrill-seeking, exciting stuff? Not so many. One or two. Well done for those of you who do. For those things, for some of us, I think there's something in there about conquering fears. Now, I went on a lovely holiday. I know that we've got some rock climbers among us. We don't have Simon Mumford with us this morning in the choir, but I know that he rock climbs very fervently. It's a big hobby for him. I'm scared of heights. I really don't get on with them. But I decided some time ago that I would try climbing to try and conquer that fear. So I tried doing climbs, and they were exciting and good, but I'm still afraid of heights. Some things aren't so easily conquered. And I think a lot of fears that we have in our lives, some of them are faceable, like the ones that we face about going fast or doing extreme sports. You can say no fear about those things sometimes. But those are more conquerable than some of the things that sit deeper in us. Some of us have true phobias. True things that are just not going to be conquered at any stage. Some of us are afraid of spiders or the dark or enclosed spaces or even going outside. And those things are deep-seated. They're not going to be shifted without some huge amount of work. And then there are those fears that are just enormously deep inside us for every one of us. And those are those existential fears. Sometimes we joke, you see things on social media joking about having an existential crisis at 3 a.m. I think the shape of the world at the moment encourages us towards existential crises. I feel like I'm having one every third day at the moment. You look around at the state of the world and think, oh, this doesn't feel right. What is happening? What is going on? How can we make this better? And the fear kind of sits all the way back behind that. What if this is pointless? What if there's nothing that we can do? And the greatest existential fear, of course, is death. That big, great, yawning thing that sits at the back of everything else, the fear of death. Now, sometimes our fears are things that we can rub along with, but sometimes they just come and sit and just look us in the face. We're just facing up against them. And what do we do then? Well, the really good news, of course, that we receive in this season of Easter is that some of those big fears, and particularly this big fear of death, is one that we are freed from by our faith in Jesus. Jesus' journey beyond death, into death, and then rising again, coming out the other side, gives us that reassurance. Gives us that freedom that says this thing that would have been so enormous, so terrifying, does not need to be terrifying for you. Even when you face death, even when you stare it right in the face, it doesn't need to be something that you're afraid of, because it is not dark, it is not unplumbed. Jesus has gone there and he's gone there for us. When Jesus talks about being the way, the truth, and the life, he's talking about being that road that we walk. The early followers of Jesus called themselves followers of the way. They weren't Christians yet. That hadn't been, that nickname hadn't been given to them. They were followers of the way. They walk this road, and that road leads through death and out the other side. Eternal life is what Jesus promises. That death is not an end, it is a gateway, it is a movement onto a different way of living, a different way of being. And of course, we with our earthly senses, our ways of comprehending the world, how do we understand that? Well, not fully, not ever, how can we? It's something that's going to be beyond us just intrinsically, that's the nature of it. How can we imagine what life looks like when we don't have bodies like these or experiencing time like we experience time? Things will look different, things will be different. But what we're assured of, and this deep reassurance sits at the heart of all of our readings today and the heart of our faith, is that we do not need to be afraid. That fear that might otherwise control us, that might prevent us from going out into the world, from doing things, that fear is something we are freed from. When we see Stephen, in that story from Acts, Stephen, deacon, servant of the church, servant of Jesus Christ, called out to do the hands-on practical stuff for those early followers of Jesus, picked out and stoned to death. Is he afraid? No, not at any time do we see fear from Stephen, because he knows that he's in Jesus' hands. Even when they're dragging him outside and getting those stones together, what is he doing? He is praying for the people attacking him. Just like Jesus did. Jesus on the cross, Lord, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Stephen prays the same, and he is able to because that fear has been quelled in him. We are given freedom in this world. Freedom to not be afraid, to not carry things around with us, but to look forwards and to be confident and to be ready to address those questions that also continue to come to us. How do we make the world better? How do I live with purpose? How do I make a good and solid and proper difference in the world? Well, we do it by being unafraid and by doing that goodness that we see in Jesus. Fear no longer needs to control or hold us because we are lifted and held in that reassurance of Jesus himself. Today, may that reassurance, may that assurance take root in your heart. May that fear be driven from you, and may we be given that strength and that courage to go into the world and say, this may be big and it may be scary, but that fear doesn't hold me, and I'm going to do what I need to do to make this better. In Jesus' name, amen.